Many of you listeners who are new to my line of thinking or new to thinking about these events, to remember the dates or the names of all the parties involved, you can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to Box 22511, and I'll enclose a sheet of bibliography of sources of information or list of past tapes on these subjects. But I just want to make the point that in the past year and a half, I have seen the Republican Party, particularly the Nixon-Reagan gang that would be in power, linked to these scandals of missing millions and mob money and hit teams and assassination teams, and can find reason why Ronald Reagan and the Pope were shot almost within 60 days of each other. The point is, if they survive, they get the message and they're not going to talk about their assailant. And I've referred to that head in the bed of the Godfather when he sees the horse's head there. He doesn't call the police right away and tell about his buddy who put the horse's head in his bed, and he doesn't drop out of the mafia. What the mafia boss does when he gets that kind of message is to shut up, because the point is to tell him to shut up. And he praises his assailants and looks the other way. And I don't expect anything of Ronald Reagan or the Pope to bring any of these truths out. But there are other factors, the Italian government, that are bringing the stories out now and will make some of these connections. As a matter of fact, there was an article that I'll quote directly from one of the newspapers this week that said that Mr. Gelli's regime and his secret party so far has been accused of everything except the shooting of the Pope, and that may come later. So there are people writing about this that can see this happening. Now, in February the 1st, this was just several months ago, on KLRB tape broadcast number 478, I talked about the jailbreak attempt again in New York City of Michelle Sindona. He was on the roof of the correction center with Robert Weiler, a well-known murderer from the mob, one of the largest drug dealers, and I believe that they were not only trying to get Weiler out, but Sindona, and that didn't work. But Sindona, at that point, tried to reveal parts of his past, and he talked about a trip to Frankfurt and to Vienna, and this is the home again of Aja, who shot the Pope later, Frankfurt, Germany, and Vienna, where the weapon was supposed to have come from, by way of Belgium to Switzerland to Vienna. Now, April the 4th, 1980, tape 435, just a year and a few months ago, I had a broadcast titled Two Men Who Could Make History Jump a Little with Either Blackmail or Bullets. That was a year ago and a month and a half. And I mentioned one of the two men was Michael Sindona, the Vatican financier who arranged his fake kidnapping at the time of his trial so that he could tie up some loose ends in Europe before he came back to jail in America. And he was ready to name top government officials, pay off Vatican mob connections that involved the United States presidency and the Congress. Now, Sindona was ready to talk, and I mentioned just a little over a year ago that a lot of heads could fall or a lot of scandals could come if Sindona is talking. Now, whether Sindona is talking or Mohammed Aja is talking, I know John Hinckley isn't. I don't know, but something in Italy is breaking, and it's coming loud and clear. The New York Times and Washington Post and the European papers are the two that are covering it mostly at this time. A Raphael Scarpitti, a lawyer, was arrested just March the 19th. That was 11 days before Ronald Reagan was shot. He was investigated for receiving $11 million from Sindona. I mentioned that. There's no information yet about how or where Sindona was getting this money, but he was wanting favors from the Christian Democratic Party, and Mr. Scarpitti has been put into jail for giving false testimony. I don't know where Sindona gets his money. Well, a bank collapsed in New York, and he can travel to Europe, come back to the United States, offer a lot of money for special favors, which are obviously to get him out of jail. I'm sure for $11 million, somebody would get him out of an American jail. You saw the way Mohammed Aja got out of the Turkish jail, working with the Nazi party in Turkey in the far right, and I think, what they say, he got $50,000 to spend a year and a half, old Sindona wants some favors, and he can cough up $11 million. That's pretty high class. But then he's a banker for the Vatican, so there is a difference in their backgrounds. One's a lawyer with all the in-team, and the other is just a street person who is used. Now, in Mr. Gelli's house in Italy, they went for information on Sindona. And what they found in there were files, among other things, that have been used for blackmail, for physical intimidation, and for future arrests. They were very elaborate files, and they were compiled in the 1950s and 60s by the intelligence service, the armed services in Italy. You can compare those to J. Edgar Hoover's files, to LBJ's files, or Richard Nixon, or the Edward Bennett William tapes that I mentioned before that they hold. The Watergate plumbers, remember, wanted a yacht in Miami to fix up congressmen and have call houses, and they have cameras behind walls. This is an old trick that's gone on for a long time. The user organization in Las Vegas, they were voyeurs with cameras within almost inches of every room in the entire Las Vegas area. But in Mr. Gelli's house were elaborate files by which he could control secret governments and politicians' enemies as well as friends. He gave out money, and he had money paid back to him, and we'll go into his organization, because his organization there, as I say, isn't any different than what happened or what happens in the United States. And in Watergate, we started to get a peek of it until the lid was put on it, and the lid may be put on this. But the stakes are higher now with people like General Haig pushing for World War III, pushing for a bloodbath in Central America. And there is a resistance among people around the world who are not buying his story in El Salvador or maybe in Guatemala or Nicaragua. And maybe they're not going to go along with him on his aggressiveness against the Soviet Union. So Haig, because he's embroiled in this scandal, may push back a little bit. There's a very good book called The Final Conclave by Malachi Martin. It was put out by Pocket Books in New York. And in that book, there's a large section on the meetings from 1969 of Michael Sindona of the Vatican with Pope Paul VI and how he took Vatican money and put it in other funds in Europe and in the United States. He took a lot of their investments that they had in Rome, and Mr. Sindona took the money out of the Empire of the Vatican in Milan. He had worked with Montini, who was the Secretary of the Vatican at one time. And this book tells how Montini was excommunicated. He was sent out of Rome for a while and sent to Milan. And this book describes how he found himself on a train for Milan in exile and disfavor. But after a while, he returned to Rome and brought with him what is known as the Milan Mafia. And those are the people that are caught in the scandal right now. And this goes into the money that he had taken from Mussolini's investments and put into J.P. Morgan, the Hambros brothers, the Rothschilds of Paris, the Rome Hilton, the Pan American Building, the Watergate Complex they built and owned, the Stock Exchange in Montreal. And they also combined it with the Gambino family and organized crime and the Republican Party in the United States. The Final Conclave talks about Father Paul Marcinkus from Chicago. I mentioned him last week, from Cicero, Illinois, the home of organized crime from Sicily into the United States in Cicero, Illinois. This is a good book that goes into transferring funds from Luxembourg and various bank shenanigans into Gulf and Western that Sindona was involved with, and they own Paramount Pictures. And again, Gulf and Western ties into the Wells Fargo scandal that I've been talking about for a long time. I have done broadcasts on the Final Conclave, so if you're interested, you can get that book. I don't have to duplicate that material, but it interlocks and links with the Milan Mafia at this time with Gulf and Western. Gulf and Western sweeps in Ronald Reagan and the scandals around Reagan. So the Sindona and Gelli and the secret government in Italy and the Vatican finances have a web which connects, as I say, to the shooting of Reagan and the shooting of the Pope at this time. And I think that the scandal was getting so big on an international level that maybe it was time to bring in their own team. Ronald Reagan is an outsider, like Jimmy Carter was. He was from California, governor. He's never lived in Washington before. And George Bush of the CIA, director of the CIA, ambassador to China, and Alexander Haig have been insiders from the word go. And as these scandals break, they have to stand there and guard the palace guard, either push Reagan aside so that he gets the message or take over completely. And being as he was shot and weakened, he got the message. And I think that they will do everything they can to take control of what's going on. Now, the Washington Post had an article this last week, May 29th, and the name of the article was Five Go on Leave. Well, leave is a military term. It said the Italian military and their top intelligence aides go on leave in the Masonic scandal. Now, this has to do with the top military men in Italy, but they are NATO men, they are intelligence men, they are working directly under Alexander Haig, who was the head of NATO. And Haig has those strong links to Argentina, the same Nazi group where Gelli has double citizenship between Italy and Argentina. The government just this last week was pushing to recognize Argentina and Chile. So the NATO story involved Admiral Giovanni Teresa, the head of the Joint Chief of Staff. In Italy, he's been forced to resign for 45 days. They're all taking a 45-day vacation, it's called. Teresa was appointed in January 1980 in Italy to become head of the Joint Chief of Staff. Now, January 27th, 1980, Frank Nugent was murdered in Australia. And I've done broadcasts on Frank Nugent, was one half of the partnership of the Nugent Bank, totally CIA money, into heroin and Green Berets operations. The bank collapsed. The bank funded the Italian Democratic Party. William Colby, the director of the CIA in the United States, the former director, was the attorney for Frank Nugent. There are direct links to that bank in Austria and the CIA and drug money to Italy. And at the time Frank Nugent was murdered, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was appointed, and he now is sinking in the same scandal as the head of the Italian Chief of Staff. The highest-ranking officers in the Italian Armed Forces are being named among 962 others. General Giuseppe Santovito, the head of the Military Secret Service, has been forced to resign. He is similar to our Pentagon chief, or Alexander Haig. General Giulio Grassini, the head of the Domestic Secret Service, the commander of the Secret Intelligence Security Service of the Interior Ministry, has been forced to resign. General Orazio Giannini, commander of the Customs Police, he's in charge of 40,000 paramilitary force and border surveillance. He has been forced to step down. And Walter Pelosi, the civilian director of the Secret Service, the Office of Intelligence Coordination. The Italian government now is considering, according to the Washington Post, to suspend the military security clearances of these people who might have participated or will participate in future NATO meetings. This is what caused their voluntary stepping down for the time being. Their security clearance has been taken away. Now, this is a group of people that were planning a coup d'etat in Italy, if necessary, whose allegiance is to a third secret dark government, which is the resurgence of Nazi Germany in Italy. They worked directly under Alexander Haig, the commander of NATO, and Haig is the protege of Fritz Kramer, the Nazi of Italy and Germany, who put Haig into office and catapulted his career. Kramer is in the Pentagon now. So woven into this scandal is Alexander Haig, NATO, and so forth. Now, you can see the day that Ronald Reagan was shot, on March the 30th, why Haig was so nervous and got up on the rostrum and said the Constitution gave him the power, I am in charge. Haig really, I believe, knew, and of course this scandal was brewing earlier, from March 17th, that the people around him, the people that worked with him, the security services, the top chiefs of staff, his Argentine connections, his Nazi connections, were embroiled in a scandal that was going to come full-blown, and he probably thought, I have to be there in charge. Being as his trip didn't work, he's softening his stand, but it's very important to realize how he was sweating and working out that day. People didn't understand why he stood in the White House press and gave us these stories and seemed so disrupted at a time when Ronald Reagan was shot. But I'm sure that Haig had more on his mind, the one back to Italy that's been brewing for a long time and which he knew was going to come down. This was March the 17th that he knew it had to come out. And March the 30th, the President of the United States is shot with the interlocking links, as I say, to the Wells Fargo, the Gulf Western, the Sedona connections, the Vatican, a can of worms that sweeps them all in, and they should all be swept out of office. Turkey is having trials now to sweep several hundred out of office and give them the death penalty. And as I've been saying on the air the last 2 weeks, these people really should all be out of office, the whole team, going back to Watergate, to the Cold War, the General Walters and the teams that have been behind Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan should be pushed aside, and the Alexander Haigs, like Italy, until we find out their links to Argentine and their allegiance to something that is different than the Constitution of the United States. I've maintained for a long time that they're not Americans. They don't serve America. They serve every feudal society. They have created starvations, unemployment, no housing, the situation rampant for riots, frustrations, and these people are serving nobody's welfare. And when we get rid of them, and maybe these scandals will help clean them out, maybe Italy will get some kind of a government more socialist, such as France recently got, and maybe Margaret Thatcher will be out, and maybe people around the world will get the message of the corruption and the links of these people to many murders and assassinations. And in the weeks that come, I'll go into some of the murders that these people have been linked to and are already being arrested for. Now, May the 3rd, just weeks before the Pope was shot, he was shot 10 days later, there's a picture of Alexander Haig meeting the Pope. This was in the New York Times, shaking his hand in the Vatican. He's met him before. He went for that famous NATO meeting. You can imagine how secure NATO was in Rome on May the 3rd when they knew since March 17th that all hell was going to break loose around them. And it involves the most famous newspaper people, the radio, television, news people, the judges, the professors, the financiers. You imagine what kind of a NATO meeting was going. Now, Haig met in Rome, according to the New York Times, with Prime Minister Arnaldo Forlani, the man who knew about the scandal and has been forced to hold over, and then he, in turn, will resign. And he went with Emilia Colombo, another man who's been arrested and has been forced to resign. There was a difference of opinion with Haig and these two Italian officials at the time on various policies and arms reductions. But Haig was meeting with them, and their names specifically, this is May the 3rd, and 10 days later the Pope was shot, and by May 24th the scandal was breaking loose around them. Now, an article in the London Guardian, reprinted in the Los Angeles Times this week, describes Rome's scandal that I will continue doing this program and for 2 or 3 weeks to come. This is how it's described in quotes. Rome's colossal new cast of 1,000 scandal, the P2 Masonic Lodge plot, leaves many here not knowing whether to smirk or to shiver. There has never been a similar scandal in Great Britain or in North America. There is no nutshell big enough to contain a synopsis of the P2 scandal. Now, that's an important sentence because I've been doing research 17 years, and I've been on the air 9 years. KLRB has an anniversary this next week or so, being on the air 10 years, and I'm just starting my 10th year at KLRB. I started with the station when it began its first broadcasting about 3 months after they were on the air. And in all those times, every single week for 9 years, I've been talking about the scandals that are typified and are linked to what is known as the P2 scandal. There is no nutshell big enough to contain the synopsis. At the time of Watergate, remember the famous quotation either of Robert Haldeman or John Ehrlichman? I never did pin down or take the time to look it up, where they said they couldn't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Well, that doesn't really describe it. It means they had too much scandal to get it back to cover it all up. But this is different. This is a secret team in Italy, and there is a secret team in the United States. They have their assassination teams and hitmen. We have ours, but they're not separated. And they're wrong in saying that there's never been a similar scandal. Watergate was that scandal that we could have followed to the nth degree. If we investigated the Dorothy Hunt plane crash in Chicago, the Martha Mitchell injection and cancer, the silencing of Martha, or the entire operation of the military, the news media, NATO, Haig, the Justice Department, the judges, the finance, the Security Exchange Command, the financiers, the Secret Service, Division 5 of the FBI, Squad 19 of the police department and their assassination team in L.A., the Tom Charles Houston plan. If we went into all of those, we in America could have stopped a lot of the pain and suffering that was going on now since 1972, where there is more starvation and more oppression, and all social benefits that ever were gained since the end of World War II are being negated. But better late than never, and as the newspaper said, the L.A. Times, and the article from London, it's hard to put into a nutshell what is going on in Italy. Now, they asked in the Washington Post, there was an article that said someone has been pulling all the strings in the complex Italian world. And they asked, who is giving Licio Gelli his orders? Now, the who of Gelli isn't any different than the who in Nixon or the who in Reagan or the who in Alexander Haig. It boils down to a person by the name of Scorzeny. There's a new book out on Scorzeny if you want to read it. He was involved with Adolf Eichmann and German Nazis and what was known as the German Brotherhood. And starting in 1939, they swore a personal oath of loyalty, bravery, and obedience to Hitler, which consisted of Scorzeny working with both Juan Perón and Franco, the same people that Mr. Gelli worked with. In July 27th of 1948, Scorzeny, a war criminal, or should have been, escaped from prison. He went to Argentina, where Mr. Gelli had his dual allegiance. He worked and was always welcome in Madrid. There's a book called The Bormann Brotherhood that describes this team. There's another one, Galen's Spy of the Century. I have about 200 books on this subject and who these people are. When the Washington Post says, who is giving Gelli his orders, it goes down to people like Otto Scorzeny, who passed away recently, Hallmar Schacht, who was head of the Reichsbank with Adolf Hitler, Joseph Mengele, a Hans Ulrich Rudel, who set up the Odessa, because this is what is showing in Italy, and we had a peek of it at Watergate. It is the spider, it is the Odessa, it is the allegiance to Adolf Hitler when the Third Reich was over to put the Fourth in. These are the people that are served by our Defense Department. They have had a dual loyalty to the Constitution of the United States as against to Adolf Hitler, and by the importation of Nazis through Project Paperclip and through Alan Dulles and the Central Intelligence Agency, we have been one of the 22 countries that were set up to swear allegiance to turning the world into one world under fascism. It involved Juan Perón and Nazi money, Martin Bormann. Le Monde had an article in 1976 called Gangsterism and the Extreme Right, and it goes into this group of fascists in Europe, and there are many, many articles on the subject. It goes into Walter Funk, who continued as the Minister of Economics when Hallmar Schacht was removed and put in prison temporarily as president of the Reichsbank, a Klaus Barbie, the former chief of the Gestapo. He was arrested in Lyon in 1972, and he named Scorzeny as the chief of Der Spion, S-P-I-N-N-E, the spider, the Odessa. There were 100,000 fascist sympathizers at that time. In 72, known ones with sworn loyalty to the Fourth Reich, and it involves 22 countries, and the United States is one of them. That's why Robert Mardian of the Justice Department and G. Gordon Liddy, with his German-speaking, his Hitler mustache, he's involved with everything about the psychology of the Nazis, and they're watching the National Archives pictures of Adolf Hitler. General Haig has been linked to these people. The Watergate plumbers were involved in that. We are one of 22 countries that swore allegiance to Skorzeny and Adolf Hitler and have continued since the end of World War II. There's a strange book called The Train Robbers that goes into Skorzeny and a new biography on Skorzeny. But I like the one on the train robbers because it tells about the great British train robbery and how money went from there down to Brazil and South America to fund Der Spiegel. In fact, one of the fellows involved in that recently fled to Barbados and was returned down to Brazil. But the book of the robbers tells about using bank robbery, train robbery, and money to continue funding the Nazi cause. And every week on this program, I've gone into missing millions that are going into the Fourth Reich. Now, when the Washington Post says, who is giving Gelli his orders? They come from Madrid, from Argentine. They are linked, going back to the people I've mentioned, the Walter Funk and Joseph Mengele's. And when they died, there were a whole group of young Germans still able to carry on the tradition at the end of World War II and hope that they could get fascism in every country and have worked consistently with Swiss banks and headquarters around the world, specifically 22 main countries, and maybe they have more by now, but that was their goal, to take over those 22. Now, next week, we'll do more on this story because these links don't just affect Italy. As I say, they affect the United States. They affect an oath of order for the Fourth Reich. They affect people that were brought to this country to take over our institutions. And what is coming out in Italy with Mr. Gelli is related to Alexander Haig and his Argentine connections and the coup in the White House, the attempted coup for him to take power at this time. The assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan or the Pope or the overthrow, the attempted overthrow in Spain, are not coincidental. They are related to this body of people. And while you don't get a lot in the news, and we didn't get a lot of Watergate for 9 months till James McCord started talking, you will see the European press and the news stories trickling out. And what trickles, you should save and put together, because this we don't get many chances to follow these people or to bring them down. And this may be one of our last chances, and therefore you must remain educated on the subject. In the meantime, you do your homework, and I'll do mine on this, and we'll continue next week on part three on the Italian scandal, which I believe is the international and the American scandal. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California, and you take care.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel.